Welcome to the Missio Dei podcast. Missio Dei is a family of Jesus, joining God as he makes all things new in Chicago. Check us out online at missiodeichicago.com.
If you were here last week, Kelly DiPolito talked about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is one of the central characters in the Advent story. And there's a lot that can be said about him. Kelly did a wonderful job telling us about the role that John the Baptist played. But our text this morning also references John the Baptist. And so I want to highlight one thing from our text this morning and really take it to heart and let it sink in for us. In the passage that Sung-hae read for us, we see an interaction between Jesus and the followers of John the Baptist, the people who were following John and learning from him. John is actually in prison, and so his followers come to Jesus on his behalf, and they ask him a question. They ask, "Are you the Messiah?" They ask Jesus if he's the Messiah. And rather than a simple yes or no answer — Jesus does not like to give yes or no answers, by the way, you'll notice the more you read the gospel — rather than simply saying, "Yes, I am the Messiah," Jesus tells them, "Here's all the things I've been doing: healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, proclaiming good news to the poor," and so on. Jesus, the smart man that he is, knows that if they go and tell John the Baptist all these things that Jesus is doing, he will easily make the connection that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah, the one who was prophesied about, the one who John paved a way for. So John's followers leave. They go back to report this to John. And Jesus begins speaking to this crowd of people who were there with him. And he just keeps affirming for them who John is, that John is, in fact, a prophet, but not only a prophet. He says John is the messenger who prepared the way for Jesus. Jesus tells them that God has fulfilled a prophecy from Malachi 3 through John the Baptist. "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way for me." God also used John to fulfill a prophecy of Isaiah 40, verse 3, which says that before the Messiah comes, there would be a voice of one calling, "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." That highway was also referenced in the reading from Isaiah 35 in our candle lighting this morning. So playing this crucial role in the Advent story, John prepared the way for the Messiah to come. This is why Advent — he's such a central figure in Advent, because Advent is a season of preparation. One of the things I love most about Advent is there's so many layers to it. For example, when we talk about John the Baptist and we talk about preparing the way, we're talking about the very first Advent, the birth of Christ, when Jesus was born. A few weeks ago, if you were here, Melissa spoke about the future Advent. She spoke about when Christ will return to fully and finally make all things new. That's the future Advent. But today we want to talk not about the first Advent, when Christ was born. We're going to talk about that a little bit next week. We don't want to talk about the final Advent, when Christ will return again. But we want to talk about the present Advent, how Christ is with us right here and right now. In a lot of ways, I think the present Advent is one of the hardest ones for us to really experience. Even though we call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, we have difficulty recognizing the presence of God in our midst. How often do we go through the motions of our lives without awareness of God's Spirit that dwells within us? We go to school or work, we take care of the kids, try to keep up with things around the house, all while maintaining our busy social lives, and our crowded souls begin to have little space left for God. I think it's pretty easy for most of us and the world we live in, the culture we live in, it's pretty easy for most of us to celebrate the birth of Christ that happened a few thousand years ago. We know how to celebrate that Advent. It's not too hard for many of us to look forward to the day when Christ will return. And yet, just like there was no room at the inn for Mary to give birth to the Messiah, many of us have not made room in our own hearts for Christ to come this Advent. Like John the Baptist, we too need to prepare. We need to prepare the way for the Lord so that we might receive him afresh in our hearts and souls. We need to take to heart the words from the famous Christmas song, Joy to the World, one of my favorite Christmas songs. That line, it's so simple. Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. When we make room in our own hearts, when we create space in our souls, we will find that God has actually been there all along. We will recognize that Christ was not only born 2,000 years ago, but can be born within each one of us today. So how do we prepare room? How do we prepare room for Emmanuel, God with us? I want to discuss three ways that I think we can prepare room, we can make space for Christ this Advent. And the first is we need to prepare exterior room for Christ. The second is we need to prepare interior room for Christ. And the third, a little bit different, is to encounter Christ in others. So I want to go through the three of those with you all this morning. So first, let's talk about preparing exterior room. Part of why it's so difficult for us to make space for God is simply because our lives are crowded. Ironically, this season that is supposed to be set aside for preparing to celebrate Christmas is often the busiest season of the year. Our calendars are just chock full of work events, social gatherings, not to mention the never-ending to-do lists. None of these things are bad in and of themselves. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that if we want to prepare room for Christ, we need to take a serious look at how busy we've allowed ourselves to become, how full we've allowed our schedules to become. I want to say this clearly because I think sometimes we go to church and we feel like we leave with another thing to add to our to-do list. But preparing room for Christ is not another thing that we add on our to-do list. It's not something we add to our overly busy calendar or schedule. Rather, it often involves taking something away. It's not addition, it's subtraction. Slowing down, saying no every once in a while. Just overall doing less are actually essential in order for us to create space for God this Advent. You've probably heard of Thomas Merton. He wrote almost 60 years ago, next year will be 2026. He wrote this in 1966. So almost 60 years ago, Thomas Merton wrote these words, and I think they ring as true as if they were written yesterday. It's a little bit of a longer quote, but listen to these words. We live in the time of no room, the time when everyone is obsessed with lack of time, lack of space, with saving time. We are numbered in billions, worked to the point of insensibility, dazed by information, drugged by entertainment, nauseated with the human race and with ourselves, nauseated with life. There's no room for nature. There's no room for quiet. There's no room for solitude. There's no room for thought. There is no room for attention, for the awareness of our state. These are piercing words. They speak as true as they did 60 years ago as they do today. Dazed by information, drugged by entertainment, nauseated with life itself. Do any of these resonate with you? Feeling like there's no room for nature, no room for quiet, no room for thought or attention. All of these exterior things, these exterior distractions in our lives, they crowd our lives to the point that there's no room for any of these things, let alone for God. A life that is crowded in this exterior way often leads to a sense of feeling crowded interior in our insides as well. This is why so many of us have trouble recognizing God with us. Everything going on around us causes us to become disconnected from our own selves, our interior lives, the things that are going on in our hearts and minds and souls. So that leads us to the second way we can create space for God this Advent. We must prepare exterior room, but we also must prepare interior room this Advent. Flip through the scriptures and we read countless examples, countless promises that God will be present throughout history and in our lives. The Psalms, for example, in Psalm 139, David talks about how there's nowhere he can go to flee God's presence. Nowhere he can go. God is with him everywhere he goes. In the Gospels, Jesus promises to be with us always to the very end of the age. In many of his letters, but particularly in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about how God is not only with us, but within us, because we are living temples of the Holy Spirit. God does not know how to be absent. God does not know how to be absent, writes Martin Laird in a book called Into the Silent Land. I got to do a silent retreat about halfway or two-thirds of the way through my sabbatical, and I tried really hard to not read too much because you're supposed to be silent. But the one book I did read is called Into the Silent Land by Martin Laird, and so I'm going to reference a few quotes from him because it really spoke to me. No pun intended, I guess. A book about silence spoke to me. God does not know how to be absent. I love that, right? If God is always with us, more than that, if God dwells within us, why do we have so much trouble recognizing God's presence? Why does God so often feel distant or absent? Well, let me continue on this quote from Martin Laird. God does not know how to be absent. The fact that most of us experience throughout most of our lives a sense of absence or distance from God is the great illusion that we are caught up in. It is the human condition. The sense of separation from God is real, but the meeting of stillness reveals that this perceived separation does not have the last word. This illusion of separation is generated by the mind and is sustained by the riveting of our attention to the interior soap opera, the constant chatter of the cocktail party going on in our heads. The reason we have trouble recognizing the God who dwells within us is not just that our lives out there are crowded with work and social events and family affairs. No doubt they are. But our interior lives are also crowded with noise, distractions, and never-ending thoughts. The interior soap opera, as he called it. Because if we're not busy with actual things to do, then we're often busy listening to the constant chatter of that cocktail party that goes on inside our heads. The antidote to all of this noise, to the noise that swirls around us and the noise that swirls inside of us, the antidote is silence. When we practice silence, we can cultivate an awareness of the God who dwells within us. We can uncover what's really going on inside of us, not just intellectually or emotionally, but at that deeper soul level. If we're honest, many of us avoid the silence because it causes some of those deep aches, those deeper things of our souls to rise to the surface. When all the distractions of life are stripped away, we come face to face with the things that are going on inside of us, the things that we've been blind to, the sadness that we've been hiding from, the pain that we often try to numb. But it's also in the silence that we encounter God, right? Silence is what helps us to prepare room, to make space for Christ to come. It gives us space not only to just uncover what's going on inside of us and become more aware of it, but to actually bring it to God, to bring our full selves to God, right? we can bring our deep hopes and dreams, the deep fears and anxieties that we hold within our hearts, the pain and heartache that we often carry, we can bring it all to God. Our longings for the future, our desires, our dreams, the stuff we dare not say to someone else out of fear for how they would respond, we can bring all of that to God. If you were here a few weeks ago when we had the Advent gathering, we sang some songs from a community called Tezay. We started that night with Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of a few verses from Lamentations 3. I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrases these verses. And this is our invitation this Advent. It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait for hope to appear. We can take great comfort in the fact that God's presence is not something we have to drum up or muster up in our own strength if we just say the right words or think the right thought. God's not off in the distance waiting for us to invite him to come on over. No, God is already with us. We just have to create the space in our souls to notice, to listen, to be present to the God who is always present with us. Silence, quiet, contemplation, these things help us create that space. They help us prepare room in our hearts for Christ. Now, you might be thinking, that's great. You know, you had sabbatical. You can have space for that. Or, you know, but this is just not possible for me. This sounds great for introverts, for people who have a lot of free time, or, you know, for monks or whatever, but not me. I have a demanding job. I have a busy social life. I have young children that can never shut up. I mean, let me put this politely, young children who are unfamiliar with the concept of silence. Yes, you're right. All of those realities, they do affect our interaction with things like silence, contemplation, prayer in general. Those are not things that we should disregard. They do affect our prayer lives and our ability to make space for silence. But the reality is, you know, we're never going to find time. We need to make time. We're not going to find space. We need to make space. And the other great thing is that the saints throughout history have always reminded us that silent prayer, prayer in general, is not a skill to be mastered, and it's not a game to win. It's not a competition at all. We are all beginners when it comes to things like prayer, contemplation, practicing silence. We are all beginners at prayer. In fact, it's often when we begin to feel like we're getting the hang of it that God likes to remind us that something is a little off, and we have to look for new avenues to connect with God. Once again, Martin Laird reminds us, the beginner's mind is far more spacious and conducive to contemplation than any feeling of being good at prayer. So the invitation, practically speaking, for each one of us is start where you're at. Start where you're at. Can I set aside 7 or 8 minutes today to pray quietly or silently? How could I build from 5 minutes to 7 minutes to 10 minutes to 15 to 20 and so on? It's a muscle that we exercise. And when you show up at the gym, you don't go to pick up the, you know, 50-pound dumbbell. You start with the 10-pound one and you work your way up. For some of us, the mornings are the spot. If it doesn't happen in the morning, it's not going to happen. So start there. But maybe like your morning is just crazy trying to get out the door, trying to get the kids out the door, whatever. Try the middle of the day. Maybe instead of a 30 or 45 minute lunch break, you just do 15 minutes for lunch and 15 minutes for prayer. Maybe the evening works for you. It doesn't for me. After about 7 p.m., there's not a lot of prayer that's going to happen. It's time to socialize or put on a show. But find what works for you. Morning, you know, throughout history, the saints remind us to pray throughout the day, right? Don't just pick one time, but set aside some time multiple points throughout the day. Find what works for you and keep building from there. That brings us to the third and final thing that I just want to leave us with as we think about preparing room for Christ this Advent, and that is to make space to encounter Christ in others. While we can recognize Christ within us through things like silent prayer, we can also move outward to find Christ among us through our neighbors this Advent. There's beauty in the truth that God dwells within each one of us, but we also want to be careful with overly individualistic or overly self-centered ways of thinking about God's presence, right? In the same way that I can find God within myself, I also must learn how to recognize Christ in others. Dorothy Day, Catholic social worker who gave her life to living among and serving the poor, put it really well. I love how she ties this back to the birth of Christ. Listen to this. It's no use saying that we are born 2,000 years too late to give room to Christ. Christ is always with us, always asking for room in our hearts. But now it is with the voice of our contemporaries that he speaks, with the eyes of store clerks, factory workers, and children that he gazes. If we're honest, this is not easy for us in our actual lives. We know we're supposed to be kind, generous, and loving toward others, but how do we actually encounter Christ in them? Well, something mysterious happens, something strange happens when we love our neighbors, especially our weak and vulnerable neighbors. Jesus teaches us this in Matthew 25. Listen to these words from Jesus. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. But then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Jesus wants us to know that he's with us in the form of our neighbors, that whenever we feed the hungry or welcome the stranger or look after the sick, it's not as if we're doing that for Christ. We are doing it for Christ. So if we want to find Emmanuel, if we want to find God with us this Advent, we need not look very far. We do have a role to play. We do have a way to prepare, just like John the Baptist prepared the way for the Messiah. But even though we live in this time that feels like there is no room, the time of no room, we can make space for God to dwell in the silence of our souls. We can recognize the Christ who lives within us. And as we love our neighbors, we can recognize the God who lives among us. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your promise that you are always with us. We just ask you to help us. We can't do this on our own. We can't muster this up in our own strength. Help us make space for you in our hearts this Advent. We know that you're already there, so help us become aware of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we transition, we wanted to just set aside a little bit of time to actually practice this, right? After all this talk about silence or silent prayer, it seems like it'd be a good time to just do it for a few minutes. So for the next 4 minutes or so, we're just going to have some quiet music that Steve will play for us, and we're just going to pray in the silence. You may want to reflect a little bit on what does it look like for me to create space in my soul this Advent in this interior way, or maybe it's an exterior thing that you feel like God is inviting you to do. You may want to consider how God is leading you to love your neighbors this Advent. I know many of us are already doing that, but is there a new invitation from the Spirit that you're hearing God bring to mind? Or just enter the silence. You know, one of the things about silence is if you come with your own agenda, often you won't accomplish it. but just come open to what God may want to do, and you'll see what might happen. Now, for 3 to 4 minutes, you can often pay close attention, but if you're doing longer than that, I definitely recommend a prayer word or a phrase like the Jesus prayer, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Just something to, or even in this season of Advent, come, Lord Jesus, come. Something to center your attention so that when distractions come, you can return to that word or phrase and focus on the God who's with you. It's not about the words, it's about the God who's with you. So I'll help us get started here. So begin, just settle into a comfortable but alert posture. Take a few deep breaths. Try to transition in your brain from learning or hearing someone speak to being present to God within. Take a few more deep breaths now. It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. So as we enter this silence now, we pray, Holy Spirit, guide us as we pray.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Find a weekly gathering or gospel community in a neighborhood near you. To find out more, check us out online at missiodechicago.com.